Radio Prague News.
The tough smoking ban in pubs and restaurants introduced a year ago is supported by the majority of Czechs. The festival theatre World Brno is to get its subsidy cut over two controversial plays. And Czech Radio says it has documents indicating that a football club supported by President Zeman's chancellor received excessively generous subsidies. A tough smoking ban in pubs and restaurants, which went into force a year ago, is supported by 71% of Czechs, according to the results of a poll carried out by the Ipsos polling agency in cooperation with Charles University. 12% of respondents were vehemently against the ban. Over 1,000 people were surveyed. Surveys suggest that around a quarter of Czechs still smoke. The Constitutional Court recently rejected a complaint against the smoking ban on the grounds that it's restricted the rights of individuals and entrepreneurs. A recent move to soften the ban in Parliament also failed. The South Moravian region has indicated it will cut the planned subsidy to the festival theatre World Brno because of two controversial plays performed within this particular cultural event. Spokeswoman Monika Brinzáková told the CTK news agency on Monday that Governor Bohumil Šimek would propose exempting the two controversial theatre plays from the subsidy package. They are the Croat play Our Violence, Your Violence, which caused protests in Brno on Sunday, and the play Damnation, both directed by Oliver Frljić. The head of the National Theatre Brno, Martin Glaser, who slammed the show of intolerance during a performance of the play Our Violence, Your Violence on Sunday night, said that this was not present a problem since the plays would be covered by a subsidy from the Czech Ministry of Culture. The Czech Football Association, which is embroiled in a subsidy scandal, is believed to have allotted over 100 million crowns without clear rules. Czech Radio's flagship news station, the Radio Journal, says it has now obtained documents showing where the money went. And one of the biggest benefactors was the village football club Osvětimany, which is the home club of President Zeman's chancellor, Vratislav Mynář. Mr. Mynář rejected any involvement. Other overly generous contributions were made to clubs in the Liberec region, where the former head of the football association, Miroslav Pelta, comes from. The price of flats in the Czech Republic is overinflated by around 15%, Czech National Bank Governor Jiří Rusnok told the news site IDNES. The governor said the central bank was keeping a close eye on prices on the housing market since mortgages make up around 60% of all loans granted to households. Mr. Rusnok said he would address the issue in greater detail at a press briefing on June 12th. The Prague Municipal Court has rejected a plea from lobbyist Roman Janoušek for the remainder of his sentence to be waived for health reasons. Mr. Janoušek was sentenced to 4.5 years in prison for a hit and run while drink driving. He served roughly 15 months of his sentence before asking it to be postponed for health reasons after undergoing brain surgery. He then asked for it to be waived on health grounds. The judge ruled that there was still a possibility that his health could improve and saw no reason to waive the sentence prematurely. Surely. The verdict is not binding. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Tuesday is expected to be the hottest day of the week, with day temperatures climbing to 32 degrees Celsius. Meteorologists have issued a heat storm warning for the afternoon hours. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, 1 year on, Czech smoking ban still has strong support. We look at a Prague event 400 years ago that shook Europe. We have a roundup of the latest Czech sports news. And later we meet Tom Dine, who was head of Radio Free Europe in Prague when 9/11 happened, putting pressure on the station to move out of the city centre. All that coming up, so please stay with us. It's almost a year to the day since the Czech Republic finally moved to ban smoking in bars, cafes and restaurants. And while the ban is still a live issue with sporadic attempts to change the law, a survey commissioned by Charles University shows support is still strong among Czechs and suggests that there are a lot of myths about its impact. Chris Johnston has the details.
After years of discussion, the Czech Republic joined the widening group of European countries banning smoking in pubs, restaurants and cafes on May 31st, 2017. Cigarettes may have been stubbed out since then, but the issue is still a burning one. Backers of the ban say the health benefits are already being felt by the Czech population. Opponents argue that it's forced many pubs to close, especially in small villages where the impact might be most keenly felt. With an eye on the upcoming anniversary, Charles University's Faculty of Social Sciences commissioned a poll by the Ipsos agency on the latest public perception of the ban and some of the trends associated with it. And that has exploded a few myths. The headline finding is perhaps that overall support for the ban is still strong at around 71%, with more Czechs moving into the category of strong supporters. On the other hand, opposition to the ban still stands at around 12%, mostly from a hardcore of smokers. Around a quarter of all adult Czechs are smokers, with around 10% of the population coming under the category of heavy smokers. But the findings in other areas are perhaps more surprising. One is the fact that Czechs now appear to be going more and more to pubs and restaurants than before the ban was put in place. Denisa Halova led the research project at Charles University.
After the ban of smoking in restaurants, the restaurants become somehow more like family-friendly, children-friendly. More people who are non-smokers go to the restaurants, or the people just go more often, because then they don't feel the smoke all over their apartment after they come back.
That influx of non-smokers to pubs and restaurants has boosted the figures of regulars who are there almost every day, three or four times a week and several times a month, and squeezed the proportion of Czechs who say a drink and a meal is an exceptional event. The fact that the economy is doing well and many Czechs now have spare cash in their pockets is reckoned to be another factor. And while pubs and brewers have sometimes suggested that the smoking ban is responsible for lower beer sales, the latest poll challenges that argument and suggests that there are wider trends at play, especially among younger Czechs. Denisa Halova again.
Beer consumption is lower because young people drink less beer. That is the main factor. They favorize more alcoholic drinks, cocktails or wine.
Whereas around 7% of people say they're drinking more beer than a year ago, around 11% say they are drinking less. And the biggest group among the latter are those aged between 18 and 29.
Chris Johnston with that report. 400 years ago this May, Bohemian noblemen threw a pair of Habsburg officials out a Prague castle window. That act of rebellion, known as the Defenestration of Prague, sparked a revolt in the Czech lands. It was also a catalyst for the outbreak of the 30 Years' War in Europe, one of the longest, most destructive conflicts in human history, waged in the name of religion. Brian Kennedy has more.
Defenestration is the act of throwing something, but nor notably someone, out of a window, and in late May 1618, an angry mob of Protestant noblemen did just that, chucking two Catholic imperial governors and an unfortunate chancellery secretary from a third-floor window. At that time, the royal house of Habsburg, a Catholic dynasty, had ruled over Bohemia for nearly a century. However, various guarantees of religious liberty had been in place in the Czech lands since the Hussite Revolution in the early 15th century, and the kingdom was something of an island of religious tolerance. In 1609, Rudolf II, the Holy Roman Emperor and King of Bohemia at the time, had declared in a letter of majesty that his subjects, Catholics, Protestants, and Jews alike, were free to worship as they saw fit in return for loyalty to the crown. That all changed after a successor, the devout Roman Catholic King Ferdinand II, began heavy-handed efforts to force his religion upon all of his subjects in Bohemia and Hungary, a practice known by historians as confessionalization, which was then the norm in Europe. On the 400th anniversary of the defenestration of Prague, I spoke to Professor Petr Vorel of the University of Pardubice, following a panel discussion on the historical significance of the defenestration of Prague and the Bohemian Kingdom's unique tradition of religious tolerance.
It's a historical tradition, especially in the Kingdom of Bohemia. This tradition of this tolerance ruled deep in the history. It roots from the 15th century. In 1485, it was the Fried of Kutná Hora. It was the first law about tolerance of the religious between Catholics and Utraquists, and this from this time, from the time after the Husit War, it's the line of the political tolerance, but the political tolerance from the point of view from the ruler. And it's 150 years about the history of the Kingdom of Bohemia from the end of 15th century to the beginning of 17th century. It was never in other land in Europe so long time of this evolution of this tolerance. That is why it was the last island of this tolerance at the beginning of 17th century, when all European countries was after the press of confessionalization, that the ruler can choose, you will be Catholic, you will be Lutheran or Calvin, but in our kingdom it was absolutely free. It's a question of his own choice.
The Bohemian Revolt began with the defenestration in 1618 of those Catholic imperial governors who were accused of having violated Rudolf II's Letter of Majesty in a show trial that lasted all day. The kingdom's island of tolerance, 150 years in the making, became a religious powder keg, and the whole of Europe was set alight for 30 years. Those governors, by the way, although badly bruised, survived their fall, some would say miraculously, through the divine intervention of Saint Mary.
I have read the Catholic interpretation was they were saved by angels.
Yes, it's interpretation after the war, that the victors write a history. Yes?
The Protestant side, they said that they fell into a pile of
It's not
horse
only
manure.
Protestants, it's exact scientific research that the place was 17 meters. It's very dangerous height, but we know that they fall on the garbage. It's
that cushioned their fall.
Yeah.
Brian Kennedy with that report. And now I'm joined in the studio by Ian Willoughby, who's got the summary of the latest Czech sports news.
We begin today with football, and the Czech league title was wrapped up by Viktoria Plzeň with one game to spare. So much focus in Saturday's ultimate round was on the last remaining relegation spot. In the end, it was Jihlava who went through the trapdoor, along with Brno, who had exited the top division a week previously. Jihlava were involved in a direct battle at their own ground with another relegation contender, Karviná, and were still safe at nil-all after 65 minutes. However, they then conceded two to lose 2-2 and bring their six-year spell in the top flight to a close. Jihlava midfielder Jakub Fulnek was unsurprisingly dejected after the final whistle.
I kept believing that we would manage. We started really well and it looked like we would get through. We knew what we were playing for. Until it happens, you don't accept that it could, and I think it'll take some time to sink in. It's going to be a gloomy summer holiday.
The Czech League's top players got to let their hair down on Sunday night in the form of a domestic awards ceremony here in Prague. Midfielder Jan Kopitz of Champions Viktoria Plzeň, who made the most assists with 12, was voted player of the season, while Václav Jilek of Olomouc took home the best manager gong. 36-year-old Milan Baroš, who was named personality of the league, said he'd like to remain at Baník Ostrava next season after helping his home club to safety this term. Tennis, and Kateřina Siniaková has caused quite a sensation at the French Open after knocking former world number one Victoria Azarenka out in the first round. The 22-year-old Czech beat the Belarusian 7-5, 7-5 on Monday to reach the second round at Roland Garros for the first time in her career. Eighth seed Petra Kvitova has also reached the second round of the French Open. However, she had to come from behind to overcome Veronique Seped Roig of Paraguay 366175 in a 2 hour plus encounter. The 28-year-old, who made her comeback after a terrible hand injury at the same Grand Slam tournament 12 months ago, will face Lara Arruabarrena of Spain in the next round. Barbara Strýcová is also into round two in Paris after overcoming Japan's Kurumi Nara 166364. And that's all the sports news for today.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. In 1995, the US-funded Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty moved from Munich to Prague. 2 years later, Tom Dine became head of the station and remained at the helm for 8 years. On a recent return to Prague, he spoke to Ian Willoughby for this edition of One on One.
Tom Dine is the president of the American Friends of the Czech Republic. The Washington-based foreign policy expert doesn't have Czech roots, but he does have close ties to Prague, having been president of Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty, which is based in the city, between 1997 and 2005. After a tree-planting ceremony by the Woodrow Wilson statue opposite the main train station, which the American Friends helped restore, Dine shared some recollections of his years in the Czech capital.
It was a glorious time to be here. Václav Havel was the president. There was eagerness and vigor to try to restart the institutions of a free country. And it happened. It happened. So it was exciting. And my wife and I loved being here. And we even had our dog, who we adored, with us. And she loved meeting Czechs on the sidewalks. She was a border collie. Unfortunately, she died here at the age of 16 and a half, and she is buried in the Prague Pet Cemetery. So that is an emotional tie.
Otherwise, what are your strongest memories of that period living here?
Getting to understand the Czech personality, the Bohemian personality. It's a little different. Yes, you're Western. Yes, you're liberal. Yes, you have values, but the way you do it is different from Poles, Hungarians, British, French, Germans. And we, and I include my wife in this, just like very much this refreshing personality, the Czech persona.
So you were the president of Radio Free Europe when 9/11 happened, and the barriers went up here just outside the building off the top of Wenceslas Square.
Yes, I still have vivid memories. It was a tragedy, obviously. So many people lost their lives. But then the Czech government and the American embassy here in Prague came to me and said, you got to move. President Havel had established us in the former Czech Communist Parliament building and charged us $1 a month. So obviously it was symbolic. So I was under enormous pressure to move Radio Free Europe from the building, and I resisted, for better or for worse, because I thought it would be submitting to terrorism, to people I didn't even know, but I was certainly horrified by what they had done. But I did surreptitiously begin to look around Prague for another location. But it had to be big enough to build a secure building, a secure perimeter around the building, and that took some time, but finally the area was located. We dealt with a French architectural firm, and just before I left to go back to the United States, the radios moved from the former Parliament building, which Václav Havel had said is iconic that you are in this building. And then when we had to move, I said, it's also ironic.
Practically speaking, was it a suitable building for a modern media organization?
We totally revamped it. We remodernized the building, but it was never perfect because it was never built for this function.
You're here today representing the American Friends of the Czech Republic.
Yes.
Generally speaking, what are the activities of the group?
First of all, the American Friends of the Czech Republic is a civil society nonprofit organization. And When I returned to Washington, I was asked by those who had founded the American Friends of the Czech Republic during the debate on NATO. In 1995, the American Friends of the Czech Republic was organized by a couple people who are here with us today. So I joined, and I am not of Czech heritage. I have strong ties to Eastern Europe, yes. In fact, I call myself an Eastern European mutt. I'm part Hungarian, part Lithuanian, and part Polish. I came to be a student of Eastern, Central, and Eastern Europe, certainly the former Soviet Union, and this part of the world makes a lot of sense to me. It is an important part of the world, and most people don't pay any attention.
Typically, who are the members of the American Friends of the Czech Republic?
We are a group of accomplished Americans, New York, Washington, Philadelphia, Chicago, the state of Iowa, the state of Texas, even somebody in the state of Alabama. And all of us have a connection to the Czech Republic. We've lived here, we've worked here, or we're of that heritage. And we care deeply that the United States, a large, powerful country, has a close and strong relationship with the Czech Republic, which is a small country, but with a lot of backbone.
I presume the 1990s was the kind of heyday of the American Friends of the Czech Republic, given that you had Václav Havel, who was such a pro-Western leader here.
It was a heyday in terms of knowing who was the leadership and how meaningful Havel was, frankly. After that, it has not disappeared, but no one of his stature has been the head of the Czech Republic. Having said that, as the world changes, globalism, the aggression of the Russians in Ukraine, etc., the U.S.-Czech relationship is critical, and therefore what we do is critical. You know, I spend time on Capitol Hill talking to members of Congress in the House and in the Senate about the importance of Prague to the grand multifaceted alliances called NATO and the EU.
Didn't your organization help to lobby for the Czechs to be admitted into NATO?
Yes, as I said, that was the origin of the organization, to lobby. You know, I remember that time I was working in the Clinton administration in Washington, and the Poles, the Polish-American community was in Washington lobbying for NATO entrance. The Hungarian-Americans were in Washington lobbying for NATO membership ratification by the Senate. And nothing was happening by the Czechs. So we took the bull by the horn and became citizen lobbyists on behalf of the Czechs joining NATO.
What other concrete successes has your group had? For example, now we're sitting basically on the statue of Woodrow Wilson by the main train station here.
Right. In the early years, besides NATO ratification by the U.S. Senate, we got involved with putting up a statue to Masaryk in the middle of a very busy section of Washington, D.C. And the statue came from the National Museum here. And it's a very busy area, and people in their cars pass by every day. And that, who is that? Thomas Masaryk. Okay, so that's important. There was a small village in Texas, the state of Texas, which had a fertilizer factory which blew up and destroyed a lot of people, a lot of buildings, including a Sokol that was there. 75% of this small town were Czech Americans. And so we joined with the town, with the membership of the town, the Czech government, other Sokols, and contributed a good deal of money to the revitalization of that town. Then this statue, the Wilson statue, was devised, and we worked very closely with architects and with planners and the city of Prague and Prague One to rebuild this statue, because in 1928 there was a statue here which the Nazis tore down in 1941 and then melted the metal in the statue and made them into bullets. So it had a dark past. So we wanted to revitalize the statue and to bring the two partners of 1918-1919, Woodrow Wilson, Thomas Masaryk, together. So we are the builders of two statues, one in Washington, one here, of the leaders of the two republics.
You mentioned Sokol. Somebody was telling me that something like 200 Sokols are coming to Prague from the US in July for this big Sokol sled, this big Sokol meeting. Do you have any involvement with that?
No. I don't have any involvement with them. Our organization, as I say, is more involved with the politics of the US-Czech relationship. But at the end of this month, May, in Pittsburgh, there's going to be a celebration over the Pittsburgh Agreement, whereby Masaryk got the support of Czech Americans and Slovak Americans to work with Wilson on basically the making of a nation in 1919.
Your group brings together Czechs and Americans, but the nations may seem quite different in their outlook and attitude to life. The Czechs are quite reserved. The Americans can be relatively brash. Is there much common ground between them?
We believe in the same values. We believe not only in the concept and the processes involving democracy, but rule of law, economic opportunity and equity, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of faith. Both populations are products of the Renaissance.
But do you ever fear the shared values are waning a little bit in this country, with some people saying that the country is looking a bit to the east in a way that it wasn't previously?
Let me be not reserved whatsoever. Values are seemingly changing in Washington. And so we all have to keep our eye on the ball, in this case, freedom and democracy, not only here, but also in Washington. Our situation, our political situation in Washington, is of deep concern to me.
Former head of Radio Free Europe Tom Dine was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One, which brings us to the end of our programme here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franjková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.